Okay, tonight is Wednesday, November 12th, or 20th day of the month of Mar Cheshvan. This is the women's Mishnah Shir. We're up to middle of the first parak of Maseches Kiddushin. Topic is Mitzvah Aseishes Mangrama.
Okay, Rabotai. If you take the packet that we distributed, if you look at the very first page, just a 5-second recap of what we accomplished last week, because tonight Rava will disagree with his friend Abaye. The Gemara seeks the actual source that a mitzvah sasesh's man grama nashim apturot, that they are exempt from all time-bound mitzvot. The Gemara suggested that we learned it out from Tefillin. Just as tefillin is a mitzvah taseh shazman grama, and women are exempt from it, so too all other mitzvot that are zman grama are nashim apturot. How do I know that women are exempt from tefillin? Answer the Gemara, because we compare it to Talmud Torah. Since in the Kriyat Shema, ukshartam leot al yadecha, follows Vishinantam Levanecha, so the sequence of events, starting with Talmud Torah, then proceeding to Tefillin, happens to teach us that you should somehow compare one to the other. As a result, we know that that's a given, because we had seen earlier when we did the mitzvah of Talmud Torah as one of the five parental obligations unto a child. Those will limit unto a boy, not to a girl, due to the fact that it says, "Velimadetem otam et bineichem," and the drash is, "Velo et binotechem." So, for Talmud Torah, there is an assumption that women are exempt from Talmud Torah. Hence, I now compare tefillin, the unknown, to the known. And I claim that just as women are exempt from Talmud Torah, they are also exempt from tefillin. Step number three, once I know they're exempt from tefillin, tefillin represents a category, a kind of a mitzvah, which is zman grama. So I further postulate and say, women are exempt from all mitzvot asei shehazman grama. Ask the Gemara, why do I choose to compare tefillin to that which is above it? In the first parsha of the Shema, why don't I compare tefillin to that which it follows, namely the mitzvah of mezuzah? Mezuzah, women are undoubtedly obligated to observe. So let's make a comparison in reverse. Just as women are obligated in mezuzot, they are obligated in tefillin. And then I will come up with the same general rule. Just as tefillin is a mitzvah taseh shazman grama and women are obligated, so too, women are obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin. Said the Gemara, no, I can't do that. Because although in the first portion of the Shema, Talmud Torah, tefillin is sandwiched right in the middle, tefillin is sandwiched right in the middle and could have been read either way. However, in the second portion of the Shema, it is not recorded that way. In the second portion of the Shema, tefillin comes first, Talmud Torah comes second, mezuzah comes last. Hence, I could not have compared tefillin to mezuzah because there is something standing in the way, interfering that smichut relationship, namely the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So as a result of the fact that both in the first portion of the Shema, tefillin and Talmud Torah happen to be next to one another, therefore I choose to compare tefillin to Talmud Torah and not to mezuzah, because although in the first portion of the Shema, tefillin is equidistant from mezuzah as it is to Talmud Torah, in the second portion of the Shema, mezuzah and tefillin are separated by the gap of Talmud Torah. Hence, I choose not to compare tefillin to mezuzah. Ask the Gemara, well, if that's the case, let's compare Talmud Torah to what? To mezuzah. And say, or mezuzah to Talmud Torah. Since in the second portion of the Shema, they're next to each other, let's say that just as women are exempt from Talmud Torah, they're exempt from the mitzvah of mezuzah as well. Answer the Gemara, that's impossible. Why? Women don't have to live. Women don't have to live a long life. Of course they have to live a long life. And the end of the second portion of the Shema said, Leman yirbu yimeichem v'imei v'neichem. So you should observe uchsavtam al mezuzot beitecho v'sharecha, Leman yirbu yimeichem. So the Gemara chooses to look with a very narrow lens, that why will I be privileged to longevity in the Holy Land? Only because I fulfill what? The mitzvah of mezuzah. That's the furthest thing from the pshat. The pshat is, Leman yirbu yimeichem v'imei v'neichem, refers to the entirety of the second portion of the Shema. And that's all of the mitzvot. God's not going to say, I'm going to grant you longevity simply because you observe the mitzvah of mezuzah. Even though, in theory, it is possible, somebody pointed out last week, there are three mitzvot of the Torah, where the Torah, black on blue, stipulates longevity. Everybody only knows two of them, but there are actually three. The two which everybody knows is the Aseret HaDibrot, Kabedet Avicha Ve'et Imecha, and the Pasuk in Parashat Ki Teitzei, Shaleach Tishalach Et Ha'eim, the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, V'Ha'arachta Yamim. However, if you read a couple of more paragraphs, Parshiot, in Parashat Ki Teitzei, the Torah tells us we should be committed to accurate weights and measures. Avnei Tzedek, Eifot Tzedek, Hin Tzedek, and the Parsha ends, Lema'an Ya'arichun Yomecha Al Ho'adama Asher Hashem Elokecha Notein Lach. So, it's not impossible that the Torah would link longevity with a fourth mitzvah, mezuzah. That's what the Gemara seems to suggest. Even though from a context point of view, the parsha, the pshat, has nothing, there is nothing further from the truth that the phrase Leman yirbu yimeichem is related only to that which immediately precedes it. But the Gemara conveniently uses that to ward off the possibility of suggesting that I should compare mezuzah to Talmud Torah and claim that women, if they own a house, do not have to affix a mezuzah on the door. Do not have to affix a mezuzah on the door. That's what the Gemara said. Then the Gemara went on the attack. And this is five lines from the bottom. So let's just reread that. We'll see Abaye's, just refresh our memory from Abaye, and then proceed to Rava's answer. Six lines from the bottom. Vehare sukkah. Everybody have the place? Six, seven lines from the bottom? Seven lines from the bottom? Everybody have? Finger off and plots? Finger off and plots, right? That's keep your finger on the place. Right? Finger off and plots. The Harei Sukkah, the mitzvah Aseh Shezman Grama. We know that Sukkah is a mitzvah Aseh Shezman Grama. Dichtiv Basukot Teshvu Shivat Yamim. And Ta'ama, the Kos of Rachmana, how do I know that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Sukkah? Because the Pasuk says Ha'ezrach, and the Gemara, for some unusual reason, translates the phrase "Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basukot," only male citizens. What was there in the phrase "ezrach" to say "lehotzi et hanashim"? I haven't the foggiest clue. Haven't found any logical explanation why I should say that that phrase means only women. But that is a drash. It's a midrash halacha documented in Masechet Sukkot. Asks the Gemara. Apparently women are obligated to observe every mitzvah taseh shezman grama. Why? Because if they were patur, why would they need an exemption, special exemption from sukkah? That's the Gemara's question. Halav hachi, four lines in the bottom. If not for this if not for this derivation, the inference which you should make this inference, is that women are chayavot. Because the Gemara would never waste ink space, there would never be a midrash halacha if you could exempt them for some other reason. If you're not forced to squeeze lehotziya tanashim into the word ha'ezrach, I wouldn't have to. So if I can exempt them based on the fact that it's a mitzvah association of Angrama, I would much prefer to do so. Apparently, I can't. Therefore, I need a pasuk. So the inference is, women are obligated to observe all mitzvot asei shazman grama. In theory, that should have included the mitzvah of sukkah.
That's all mitzvot asei.
What?
Women are exempt from all mitzvot.
All mitzvot except for sukkah.
Right.
Correct.
And school.
No. Once we are now attacking the very halacha.
No, it's filling is because it's Talmud Torah.
No, but we're challenging that. We'll challenge that. We can challenge it on... Your point is a good point. Once we would establish that sukkah is the model to teach us that women are obligated in a mitzvah aseh shezman grama, well, what do I do with the comparison of... So either I claim that's an exception to the rule.
Because of the men.
Right. Or, what do I say? Chuck the whole thing. Women are obligated to wear tefillin also. So what did Abaye say? Who remembers what Abaye said? Amar Abaye, itzrach. No, you cannot derive any conclusion from this derivation. Why? Salka daitach amina. I could have thought, ho'il dichtiv basukot teshvu. Since the Torah uses the expression basukot teshvu, and there is another well-known midrash halacha drash. What is the word teshvu? How is it defined? Teshvu ke'en taduru. You're supposed to dwell in the sukkah as you reside in your house. And I would say, ma dira ish v'ishto, just as in one's house, it's man and woman, at sukkah ish v'ishto. So I could have said, that even if women are exempt from mitzvot aseh shezman grama, I could have thought that they'd be obligated for sukkah. Why should they be obligated for sukkah? To enable teshvu ke'en tadur. So what pasuk tells me not to go that route? What pasuk tells me not to go that route? Ha'ezrach. That pasuk is telling us, do not follow that way of logic. Do not. So if you do not, what are you left with? What are you left with? Sukkah is a mitzvah sasheshes man grama, which women are exempt. Why? Because compare tefillin to Talmud Torah. The only reason why I would have thought that sukkah is an exception to the rule is because of teshu kein taduru. But there is another pasuk to cancel out that possibility of teshvu kein taduru, which would mandate women as an exception to the rule. What is that pasuk? Ha'ezrach. Hence, we are back to what the Gemara had initially proposed. I compare tefillin to Talmud Torah, and therefore I assume that they're exempt from tefillin, and now I postulate and say, just as tefillin is a mitzvah taseh shezman grama, so too every mitzvah taseh shezman grama nashim peturot. Everybody on board? That's what we said last week. What's the matter, Judy?
There are too many levels.
I know. I know. Like they say in the classroom, that Houghton Cup. You have to keep track of this. That's correct. You have to keep track of it.
It's not that one can't keep track, it's that it's not logical.
Did I say it's logical?
But until then, everything was.
Yeah? That's Abaye's reason why sukkah could not have been a model and why I needed her ezrach. Now we go to the next page. Rava Amar, his cohort, says no. There is a different reason why I would have thought that sukkah is an exception to the rule and women should be obligated to observe Sukkot because of what? Despite the fact that it is a mitzvah tashay shezman grama. I would have thought, for a different reason, that women should be obligated to observe mitzvah sukkah despite the fact, and therefore what will I need to tell me don't go that? Ha ezrach. What does he say? Sal kedaitach amina neilef chamisha asar mechaga matzot. Tetvav. So let me give you the background to this. It requires a couple of steps. The Gemara here operates on the assumption that women are obligated to eat matzah. The Gemara is operating on assumption that you should know that women are obligated to eat matzah. And you are obligated to eat matzah. How does the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim establish that obligation despite the fact that matzah is a mitzvah d'oraita, a zman grama? Based on the fact that in one pasuk it says, Lo tochal alav matzot. Actually, Lo tolav alav chametz. Lo tochal alav chametz. Shivat yamim matzot yeyachel. Lo tochal alav chametz, you shall not eat chametz. For 7 days you shall eat matzah. Is it striking that the Torah mentions the Isser of chametz and the mitzvah to eat matzah in the same pasuk? That shock you? Of course not. Why? Because chametz and matzah are obviously related to one another. The very absence of chimutz means that it's matzah. If it's matzah, it's by definition not chametz. So I can hear them without any lumdus. I don't have to be the genius, nothing. I can understand fully well why the Torah mentions them together. But the Gemara doesn't accept simple understanding. And the Gemara says, there's got to be a reason why the Torah mentioned the prohibition of eating matzah, of eating chametz, in the same pasuk as the mitzvah to eat matzah. What is that? To teach me that just as women obviously are obligated to observe the prohibition of eating chametz, because it's a lav, and women are obligated to observe every single lav, so too this mitzvat aseh, which is found in that very same pasuk, women are now obligated to eat matzah. That's an assumption that the Gemara expects you to know. That kol sheyeshno bebal tochal chametz, anybody who is commanded to observe the prohibition of eating chametz is now mandated to eat matzah. So matzah, we have an exemption for the rule of mitzvot aseh shezman grama. Then, just 1 second, then what Chazal did was compared all mitzvot of the Seder to matzah. Why are you obligated to eat maror? Maror is also a mitzvah sasashis man grama. Why? Because you're obligated to eat matzah. Why are you obligated to engage in the mitzvah sipritzias mitzrayim? That's also a mitzvah sasashis man grama. Because you're obligated to eat matzah. Why are you obligated to drink 4 cups of wine? Because you compare it to matzah. Everything. So the entire Seder, for which you work like a horse, at least you're obligated to observe that. At least you're obligated to participate in every aspect of the Seder. Every aspect. Yes. Correct. That's why it's an exception to the rule.
Oh, it's an exception.
Because of the comparison to matzah. It's a very good point. I could have exempted women from the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim for two reasons. One, because it's a mitzvah cessation, it's only by Yom Ahu. And number two, it's essentially a form of Talmud Torah. And women are exempt from Talmud Torah. I could have, you're right. But now this comparison from chametz to matzah triggers your obligation to eat matzah. Then Chazal say we're going to mandate you observe every other mitzvah too. Just like you're obligated to observe matzah. Now, that's to answer your point to the directly. Not everybody has always believed that essentially the mitzvah of Higadata Levincha is essentially a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The way most people, if you ask anybody in the street, how would they define the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Translated rather literally. Tell a story. That's not Talmud Torah. Tell a story. You have your kid on your lap and you tell them a little story. It was the Rav who spent every single year, says the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is essentially a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's essentially a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And he always used to bring 50 proofs to it. Number one, what is the text? Chazal could have composed a text for the Haggadah. They could have. Whoever the Baal Haggadah was. But what did he do? All he did was lift Mishnayot, Braitot, and Midrash. This is the Haggadah. That's all he did. The four questions, it's a Mishnah Psachim. Avada Meinu Farab Mitzrayim is a Braisa, is a Mishnah Psachim. Arami Yoivirovi is a Midrash Halacha found in Parshat Kitavo. Midrash Agada found in Parshat Kitavo. So what did he accomplish?
The quotation is
Chumash. I know, but the Drash, Arami Yoivirovi, right. Now, right, the whole Drash of that Parsha. It's only four psukim, and we spent page after page. But also, all that, the Medrash Agada. Why did the Baal Haggadah do that? Why? Because he wants to tell us that essentially it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's why you can remember this for the Seder night, if you can remember this for the Seder night.
Yeah.
That's why, yes, yes, you can. That's why it's introduced with Birchot HaTorah. Baruch Shenasan Torah La'amo Yisrael. Baruch HaMakom. Why do I have to say that? First of all, did you not say Birchot HaTorah in the morning? Of course you did. Of course you did. However, the rule is, here's the rule. Whenever the halacha has not given you a choice what you want to learn, you have to make another Birchas HaTorah. Whenever the halacha has dictated what you have to learn for a particular second, you have to make another Birchas HaTorah. So tomorrow morning, there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah on me tomorrow morning. Yet, at 28 minutes after you finish Shacharis, after you finish Shmon Esrei, you have to read the Torah tomorrow. Can you read Parshas Vayikra tomorrow? No, you can't. Because this week's not Parshas Vayikra. You have to read Parshas Chayasara. So everybody, when they are called up to the Torah, despite the fact that they said Birchat HaTorah in the morning, has to make another Birchas HaTorah. That's the reason.
Well,
now, come and learn.
Makes sense.
Of course.
The way you learn a Kush, because you open up to any page.
That's why the bracha of Talmud Torah, which you make in the morning, covers whatever you want. You don't have to be learning Kiddushin now. You can learn Bava Kama, learn Bava Kama.
Okay.
Right. Learn whatever you want. But at certain times, I'll give you another occasion. Another occasion. When you bring Bikurim, so the Torah says, V'anita V'amarta, Arami, you have to read the Psukim, it's called the Mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. So the Tosefta says you have to make Birchas HaTorah. Why? I'm saying Birchas HaTorah in the morning. Because at that particular second, when you walk in with your basket of fruit to to the Beit HaMikdash and presents it to the Kayin, the Halacha says, no, you can't learn Talmud, you can't learn Bava Kama today. You can't learn Mishnah Kedushin. You have to read four psukim in Parshat Ki Tavo, Dvarim, chapter 27, verses, whatever they are, that's it. Yes?
Actually, where you say we don't have to say Bracha Satorah for learning this.
That's correct.
We said Bracha Satorah this morning, and it's tonight's another day.
Now, so Tosfos deals with that and says the day itself, Tosfos raises that and says, in for this respect, we only consider a Hesach when you stop thinking about the possibility of learning. So as you're up, we consider the bracha till the daytime. And in fact, as Tosfos says, that's why the bracha is la'asok, not lumot Torah. So if you go to work and you conduct your life based on ethical laws of the Torah, that's also asek b'divrei Torah. When you speak to another human being on the street and say good morning to your toll collector, that's also a mitzvah of... That's also osek. So you are never... Your mind is never taken away from learning until you go shluffy. Therefore, at night, we expect your mind is not learning so, Torah. Yeah.
So then you say the bracha, even if you... No, you're not going to be learning
that's
Torah.
Good.
Just
that's
every
good.
Day watching
Torah. That's correct. I had to deal with a lot of annoying parents today. I wasn't learning Torah. I wasn't in the tongue. But I didn't make no Birchas HaTorah now. Because even that is supposed to... that's also a key in Talmud Torah. How to deal with annoying parents. Right, that's all. So...
I'm
only joking. So, you know every principal's dream to run a school of orphans. So, every principal's dream. So, no parents to worry about. Yes. Yeah.
How can they expect women, let's say in the 18th century or 17th century, where they're not supposed to take the Torah because you're not Torah, how can they come to the Seder and then learn?
It's a pretty serious question. It's a good question. So they expect...
They have the tools.
Correct. So the notion that you never learned was somewhat erroneous. There's a wonderful article of Avraham Lichtenstein about the mitzvah, about women learning Torah, and he writes, you have to learn about every detail of every mitzvah that you're obligated to observe. If you go work, you have to know all of Chesh and Mishpat. You have to know all these things. So there's so much that you have to learn. Like I said, so don't learn kachin. Don't learn the laws of kabban. Okay. But everything else, how can you not know Hilchus Shabbos? How can you not be familiar with Hilchus Kashrus? They don't expect you to call the rabbi every time you pour some milk into a fleshy pot. They expect you new to know Yeridaya by heart. That's what they expect. That's what they expect. The Rav used to tell stories about his mother. His mother didn't tolerate her husband, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, making piskei. Don't tell me how to run my kitchen. I know Shulchan Aruch better than you do. This is kosher, this is not kosher. Throw this out, and that's it. So you're right. It's tough. Today, thank God, young women and women are making contributions at the Seder. They're not sitting there passively. They can articulate and say there's great divrei Torah, and that's the way it should be. One final proof that the Rav always brought. Kineged arba abanim dibra Torah. Do you think there would be kineged arba abanim dibra Torah about the mitzvah of sukkah? Not at all. Does it make a difference if you're intelligent, simple, genius, as to whether you're obligated to eat in the mitzvah of sukkah? Absolutely not. Everybody sits in the sukkah the same way. Yes, the Vilna Gaon's understanding is a little more complex and profound than ours, but the mitzvah is the same. There are only two mitzvot which depend on who you are. Tzedakah. If a millionaire gives $10 to tzedakah, he has not fulfilled his mitzvah of tzedakah. Even say, a poor person gives $10, he's fulfilled the mitzvah of tzedakah. It depends on how much you have, that's how much you have to give. And the same thing is with Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, for the people who, you might remember these, the Chevre Tehillim people, who come to shul, people at Maratzim had no education in Europe, and they come to shul yoimam v'layla, an hour before shul, mizuk tehillah. Because when you say Torah shebiksav, even though you don't have a foggy idea of what he's saying, you're mekayim emetz of Torah shebiksav, because it's the divine word. Trust me, Tehillim is a very difficult book. Extremely difficult to understand. You know, somewhere, but to know what triggered it, what he's saying, what he's referring to. But you're mekayim emetz if you don't understand anything. So if the Vilna Gaon would sit here all day and read Tehillim, he wouldn't be mekayim emetz of Talmud Torah. Why? Because with his intellect and his background, he can handle a lot more than reading a simple Hebrew text. So since Pesach at night is going to be what? An exercise of Talmud Torah, the challenge to a parent is, you have to know your children at the table. The Chacham, you address one way. You engage in halachic debate. Af etar emor lo kihilchota Pesach. The Tam, who has very little background, you have to explain one way. Sheino yedeh lishol. See, you have to explain it. You have to somehow apsachlo. You got to trigger. So if it would be a story experience, does it make a difference how intelligent you are or not? It makes no difference. A story everybody can listen to. Pesach at night is not story time. It's learning about the drama of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So, now let's get back to this. So step number one is that we make an assumption. Women are obligated to observe matzah. And all mitzvos related to what? To the Yontif of Pesach. Step number two. There is a phrase in the Chumash, in Vayikra chapter 23, which you should know by heart. Parshav the Moadot, you should know the whole Perikov Gimel by heart. You'll need it every day of your life, eventually. Need it, have to know it. It says, B'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh ha-shvi'i chag ha-matzot l'ashem. About 25 psukim later, it says, B'yom, b'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh ha-shvi'i chag ha-sukot l'ashem. So it says, Pesach, and I should really clear, chag ha-matzot is on the 15th. Pesach is on the 14th. Chag HaPesach, according to the Torah, is on the 14th. Pesach Hashem is on the 14th. The 15th in the Torah's language is never called Pesach. It's called Chag HaMatzot. The 14th in the Torah is called Pesach, because they brought the Korban Pesach on the 14th. So now the Gemara makes a Hekesh, Tetvav. Chamisha Asar. And this comparison goes around in circles.
Those are just dates that they have.
Correct.
So why can you?
Good. So what have I told you about Midrashei Chazal?
That's what they do.
Look for something to hang your hat on. That's all. You're right. Just a common phrase of a number.
It's a number.
Correct. Good. Excellent. So now they say the following. Listen to this. Just as, this is what Ravut said. I would have said that just as women are obligated to observe the mitzvah of matzah, which is on the 15th of Nisan, so too they're obligated to observe the mitzvah of sukkah, which is on the 15th of Tishrei. Even though it's a mitzvah taseh shezman grama. So what do I need to tell you? Do not apply the Hekesh Tetvav to tell me that women are obligated to observe the mitzvah of sukkah. What do I need? Ha Ezrach. Says Rava. Why do I need Ha Ezrach to tell me that women are exempt from sukkah? Because I could have thought that they were obligated for a different, not the way my friend Abaye said, because of Teishu came to Aduru. But because of the Hekesh Tetvav. Just as women are obligated to observe the mitzvah of matzah, given, because they're obligated to observe chametz, so too I would have thought when it comes to the 15th of Tishrei, they're obligated to observe the mitzvah of sukkah. Hence, I need ha'ezrach. I'll give you another illustration where this particular halacha is established. And it affects us every single year during the Yantav of Sukkot. Every single year. According to Torah law by matzah, when must you eat matzah according to Torah law? Only the first night. That's it. The rest of the Yom Tov, if you choose not to eat chametz, you don't have to put a morsel of matzah into your mouth. You have to eat one kezayis, two kezayis, and whatever it is, but a kezayis of matzah in order to mekayem your mitzvah d'oraisa. That's it. Good. Now, we transfer that halacha to the days of Sukkot. The Torah tells us you are to dwell in the sukkah for 7 days. Okay? Now, what night of Sukkot are you absolutely obligated to eat in the sukkah? You must, only the first night. The rest of Sukkot, you're just not allowed to eat grain out of the sukkah. But if you choose to eat fruits and vegetables and meat and fish the rest of Sukkot, you can go away with the entire Yom Tov of Sukkot and not violate absolutely nothing. Just as if you don't eat any matzah the rest of Pesach, you don't violate anything. As long as you don't eat chametz. So we now learn from matzah that just as by matzah, what does the Torah say? Bo'erev tochlu matzot. At night you must eat matzah. We now transfer that, even though it doesn't have an equivalent phrase by sukkah, that you are obligated to eat in the sukkah the first night a kezayis of bread. Kezayis of bread. Now comes a secondary machloikis between Tosfos, cited by the Ramah, and virtually all other Rishonim. What happens if it's raining the first night of Sukkot? So the Rambam, the Rashba, the Ran, the Ritva, and 99.9% of all Rish, including Karo, the author of Shulchan Aruch, says, it's raining, go right ahead and eat in your house. You don't have to wait 5 seconds. You don't have to wait 5 seconds. The Ramah says, for us Ashkenazic people, no. That obligation is so powerful on that first night that it trumps every other halacha. What halacha teaches me that if it's raining, you don't have to eat in the sukkah? Teishu kein tadur. We used that illustration last week. That if you sprung a leak in your living room, you're not going to be sitting in your living room. So why would you have to sit in the sukkah? The first night, claims the Ramah, that halacha doesn't exist. So you have to wait, he writes, until midnight, till it stop raining. And if it doesn't stop raining, you go in with your raincoat and your boots. In the pouring rain, you make Kiddush. You do not say Leishev Basukha, because most authorities say you're an idiot for going into the sukkah when you rain. You're not mekayim any mitzvah, so we don't make a leishev sukkah. You eat a kezayis of bread, and then you go back and finish your gefilte fish and your chicken inside the house at 12:05 a.m. Based on the hekesh tesvav tesvav. So this hekesh tesvav tesvav has lots of applications. Lots of applications. Our Gemara is using it to theoretically be mechayev women in the mitzvah of sukkah, so there is an out by Ha'ezrach. Please ask a powerful question. If this is logic is correct, according to Rava, what other mitzvah concerning the Yantav of Sukkot should you have been obligated? Lulav and Etrog. I should have, even though Gemara doesn't. I don't know why. The Gemara does not suggest that women should be chayav in the midst of Arba Minim, despite the fact that it's a Zman Grama, because of Tetvav, Tetvav. Just as you're obligated to eat matzah, you're obligated to Lulav and Esrog. Ah, and there ain't no Ho'ezrach to tell you not to do it. That phrase, Kol Ezrach, only says Kol Ha'ezrach, Yeshvu Basukot.
That's why they didn't say it, because that would be a problem.
No. So some suggest, you know what they said? Oh, no, no. That's a good thing. There's another thing to tell you. Because Lulav and Sukkah are on the same Yom Tov, so if you're out, if you're not, just, ah, good, ah, that's it. Okay, so I'm going to say it. Why is it that you're obligated to eat Maror?
Because I'm
not. Why are you obligated to say Sipitz Yerzon compared to Matzah? Same thing by Lulav. Why are you exempt from the mitzvah of Lulav, despite the fact that Hekesh Tezvav Tezvav? Because you compare it to Sukkah. Just as you're exempt from Sukkah due to her Ezrach, you're exempt from Lulav because of that reason as well. Because you compare all mitzvot of Sukkah to one another. Yes, they are.
Doesn't mean if you take it, you're not getting it.
Ah, we're going to talk about that. That's a separate machloikus whether you're allowed to make a bracha on a mitzvah say Shizman Gram or not. Rambam says, don't you dare. Because you're not a Rambam, you're not a Sephardi. My daughter does not make a bracha on when she takes the lulav and etikah, she's married to a Sephardi. She does not make a bracha. On a mitzvah says she's mangrat. The Rambam says it's a bracha levatala. We'll talk about that. We're going to see the machloikis, Tosis in the Rambam. We will see. One thing at a time.
Is there any other example?
So you don't get to make a bracha. What? Which is that you're starting to take it to an essay, which...
Yes, there is one more, a famous one. Every Friday night, Kiddush.
Wait, they take it anyway, but they take
the... No, one second. Let me get the questions on the floor. Hold on. Rachel asks, is there any other mitzvah where you're obligated to a mitzvah to say because you're obligated to observe the law? Yes. Mitzvah of Kiddush every Shabbos. Why are women midda oraita obligated to make Kiddush? Correct. Shamar and Zachar. Anybody who is obligated to observe Shamar, which is the law, not to do Malacha, and you're, because that's a law, you're obligated to make Kiddush. Midda Oraita. Hence, if you want to make Kiddush in your house Friday night, for all the men in the house, that's your prerogative. 100%. Because you're equally obligated. And in fact, without going to a lengthy discussion, there is much halachic discussion that women are even more obligated than men on a Friday night. Not you. You come to shul every Friday night. So if you don't daven Maariv, then the women are obligated in the midst of Kiddush to Oraita, and the men only mid the Rabbanan, because they daven, they said it in Kiddush. Kiddush mid Oraita, you don't need wine. That's a rabbinic requirement. So mid the Oraita, if you don't daven Maariv, you are on a higher obligation to observe the mitzvah of Kiddush than men. But at least, at the very least, you're on the same level. At the very least, you're on the same level. So it's one. It's learned out from the same kol sheyeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'zachira. Since they're not written in the same pasuk, it's not like matzah and man. It's b'dibur echad ne'amru. We have a tradition that there were X number of psukim that were uttered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the same time. There are some which are even more compelling than this one. Because you didn't have to utter Zachar and Shamar at the same time. But I'm going to give you, we mentioned it Monday night, two illustrations where you had to have them, otherwise you'd be paralyzed what to do. Are you allowed to bring a korban on Shabbos?
Yes.
You're allowed to bring a korban on Shabbos? No, you're not.
No. Okay.
No. Are you allowed to bring a korban on Shabbos?
Me personally, no.
Why not? You're allowed to shech. Women are allowed to shech the korban. Black and mishnah and zvachim. Hakol shochtin afilu nashin. It's black and white. You can do that. So now, are you allowed to shech the korban on Shabbos? No. Because shechita is one of the 39 malachot. Okay? What's the penalty for violating the Shabbos? No, much more than that. Skila. Stoning. Death by stoning. Good. How do they bring a korban to the Beit HaMikdash? The korban musaf and the korban tamid. So the Gemara says, the normal rules that a positive overrides a negative, that's a very famous rule that doesn't apply in this case. So give me an illustration where a positive overrides a negative, where the principle reads asei doche lo tase. Give me an example. What? No, that's going to be a wrong. That's a bad example. That's a bad one because it doesn't apply. I'll tell you why. Give me an example where it does apply. No, it doesn't apply there either. It's going to be one of the psukim that was said one time. So here's the case. Okay? I'll tell you why it doesn't apply in 2 seconds. Here is the case. You are wearing a four-cornered garment made out of linen. Are you obligated to put tzitzis on? Tell me what the conflict is.
Because it's
Shabbos. That's the conflict. Says the Gemara, you put them on. Why? Yavo asei v'yidche lo tase. The positive commandment of wearing tzitzis overrides the prohibition against wearing shatnez. That's the rule. However, listen carefully, Rabotai. It only applies when it's a simple asay versus a simple lav. What's the punishment for wearing shatnez? Just lashes. That's it. That's a simple lav. The punishment for every lav is just lashes. So when you have a lav just with lashes, it's considered on the same level as an asay. The asay trumps. But any time the lav is punishable by death, the rule of asay docha lo tase does not apply.
For example,
several which were just mentioned. Bris milah. The mitzvah says, ubayom hashmini, you have to do it on the 8th day. But cutting the kid up is one of the 30, being motzi dam, is one of the 39, it's learned out from Shechita. It's one of the 39 malachot. So the principle of asay docha lo tase would not be sufficient. So there is a special limud, which they learn at, ubayom afilu b'shav, special limud. Take the mitzvah of yibum. Every time you want to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum, you violate one of the arayot. The Torah says, Ervat eshet achicha lo tegala. You're not allowed to marry your sister-in-law. So the Gemara asks, well, how in the world are you mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum? And you can't say, asei docha lo taseh, because the punishment for marrying your sister-in-law is a death penalty. So what does the Gemara say? B'dibur echad namru. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he told Moshe Rabbeinu about the mitzvah of Yevama Yavo Aleha, he quoted that the very same second, the very same time, Ervat Eshet Achicha Lo Tegale, to teach Moshe, I don't want you to be paralyzed. I want you to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Even though based on the rules and regulations which you have, you're not going to do the mitzvah of Yibum. So there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'dibur Echad Ne'emru.
Are there many of them?
Not many, some. Here comes the next one, the Korban issue. God said the following 5 words together, at the same time. Michalaleha Mot Yumat. U'b'yom HaShabbos Shnei Chavasim B'nei Shana Tamimim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, those who desecrate the Shabbos shall be executed, Mot Yumat. At the very second, he said, "Uviyoyim Hashabbos, bring the Shnei Chavasim B'nei Shana Tamimim." Why did he have to say it B'dibur Echad? Otherwise, Moshe Rabbeinu would have been paralyzed. Rabbeinu Shalom, what do I do? You told me to bring a korban, but you also told me not to be Mechal Shabbos. And the rule of Asei Docha Lo Tase doesn't do me any good, because it's a lav sheyesh bo misa. So what do I do? So if now I'm going to ask you, gentlemen and ladies, what would you have done had I not told? What would you do? What would you rule? To bring the korban or not to bring the korban, and why? What would you do? Give me logic. Why, without this deeper effort, you have to make that decision. You understand that? What would you do?
Well, you already said if the punishment.
I didn't tell you the resolution. You are faced with the dilemma. I don't know how to resolve it. What would you do?
I would bring the carbon.
Okay, and run the risk that what?
No, forget the risk. It says, you know, specifically that I'm shopping.
You're running the risk of death. You know,
but,
so,
but the Torah says, "Mechalel Moshimah."
Okay, so all these creative minds that can come up with Ezra and
I didn't ask you. They did. What did they create? So they said it was Medim Rachel. How does anybody know that?
Right.
So they made it up because otherwise we're paralyzed. So I asked you. Let's assume you're not paralyzed. There is no instruction from the heavens above. What would you do with heaven? Why? What would you do? Tell me what you would do and why. And why?
I say you don't do it.
Tell me why.
Because it's not a simple one.
Good. Whenever you have a mitzvah asay and you didn't do it, what happens to you? Nothing. You don't violate anything by not doing a mitzvah asay. You missed out. But by slaughtering an animal on Shabbos, two witnesses didn't come to bed and said, "Hey, you know, buddy, you're not allowed to slaughter anything on Shabbos."
And it's straight out, it's black and white there. If you do this, you're going to get that. Correct. It's not questionable.
So,
it's right there.
If you would, if you were left to our druthers, the response would every, not one time, every single time would be, forget about the mitzvah saseh and observe the law. So, what would they tell to the sister-in-law? What would he tell him? Give chalitza. Give chalitza, mister. Don't you dare get married to your sister-in-law. So you won't have the mitzvah of Yibum. You what? But you won't violate the law of Ervas Eishes Achicha Lo Tegale. Yes?
But then what's about Yibum necessarily is with your sister-in-law? Such a mitzvah never.
Right. So is a korban on Shabbos.
Exactly. So what?
Such a mitzvah.
Okay, so that's the logic why they had to invent this idea with B'di B'Rach. Because otherwise, why would God legislate a mitzvah which can never be fulfilled?
But that's why you don't need B'Rach.
Yes, you do.
My contention is you don't need B'Rach because this, the fact that we have these words that say it's not just happenstance, you happen to be together, we don't know what to do. Or it happens that she's your sister-in-law, so you don't know what to do. By definition, that the nature of this mitzvah is such, as you said, the Ibum, but also the Shnei
Prophet. But the Torah says to the other, elsewhere, so it's God not
said,
the one.
So God said, and clearly he knew that it was this issue.
Right, so now, but he didn't tell us what to do. He did not tell us what to do when things are in conflict. We make up those rules. He did not come down and say, whenever there's a conflict, you know what? Just say, I say, no. That's not what he said. If he would, there'd be nothing to talk about.
Why did he set it up as a conflict?
That's
he didn't
it.
Need to set it up that way.
What number of questions is that?
No, it's getting higher.
I am up to 230,000. I got lots of questions to ask to Rabbi Shalom. Lots of them. There's so many things in the text that I want to know. Why did he do it this way?
It's much easier logical step to say that when a rule is specifically stated that by its very definition has a conflict, that it's okay to do the essay. That can be the rule that we make. You don't need to invent this deeper effort, which is the same
That's what it means. But if not for that, let's assume they didn't say anything. Would you have the gall to initiate that yourself? The Gemara has told us that's what it means. But let's say the Gemara didn't open up its mouth. And they're sitting there on the first Shabbos in the Beit HaMikdash. What do we do? I don't know. I would always say, the Gemara always says, shave the al ta'ase odif. Always better to play to be on the safe side. Yes?
So, I mean, this is just a technical thing, but what happens when two brothers married to two sisters and one brother dies without having children?
Okay, so that is another, that's the whole first 25 block of Maseches Yevamos. Complicated cases whereby that's the simplest of them. There's 25 different pages of
son and father.
Exactly. This one, where in addition to the sister-in-law, there was another erva which you're encountering. And the halacha is there is no mitzvah of yibum, nor do you have to grant chalitza. She can marry anybody she wants without anything. Correct. They're pater minayib, first Mishnah in Yevamos, pater minayib, and amechitz. Chamesh esrei nashim.
It's probably the hardest 25 dapim in Shas. Because the cases are so convoluted. This one's married to his nephew, the 18th. Oh, that was a oh, it touches this. It's hard to understand it. It is, you lose, ask anybody doing the documentary, right? Let's take a look. Ask him, how is your vomit going? Oh my God, I can't wait till it's over. At least the first 30, 40 pages, I can't wait till it's over. I had a Rebbe in the 12th grade who started doing Yevamos. After 2 weeks, he said, I guess we'll do some other assemblies. Can't do this.
Too difficult. Yes.
When you say they mean the Medrash Haggadah, does that mean they're making it up? Or is it really a tradition? It's a Masorah that's passed down.
No, so I said,
what is the difference
Midrash,
between Medrash Haggadah and...
No, no. Medrash, I'm talking about Midrash Halacha. Midrash Halacha probably is that Moshe Rabbeinu came and said, this is what you do. But when Torah Sheba'al Peh was challenged, they looked for something in the text to support it. Those are the Midrash Halacha. I guarantee you, Tesvav is not the source to tell me that you have to eat matzah. So because it's the most illogical thing in the world.
So there's a Masorah for these things.
Correct.
And I'm trying to find something to pin on.
Correct.
And that's why there's
everything.
That's why everything's an exception. Because
correct.
Nothing. Like we try to come up with these. There's a cloud for this and a cloud for that, but then nothing fits.
So we throw the towel. If we can come up with a rule, we'll try to work with it. If you can't, you can't. That's all. That's what the learning word's all about. Not just to accept Moshe Rabbeinu said so. Okay, that's it. Why did he say so? What's the rule? What's right to his mind? So we try to figure it out. That's all. Sometimes it works. Sometimes you throw in the towel. Moshe Rabbeinu said it. That's all. Yeah. So that's another illustration of tetvav. That on the first night of Sukkot, you must eat in the sukkah regardless. We learned that out from matzah. Let me give you one that goes the reverse way.
But matzah with men and women both. And this is only men.
Because of chametz. That's
right.
Why.
Right. But
if not for that.
Even though it's.
But that's up. Exactly correct. It's once you know this, now I transfer it. Yeah.
Not transferring to the issue, but you know when you said the thing about the matzah, it didn't say you don't eat the chametz and you eat matzah for 7 days.
Yes.
But we're actually only obligated to eat matzah.
Correct. So I'll tell you how that comes up because there is another pasuk in the Chumash in Parshat Re'eh where the Torah says, "Sheshet yamim tochal matzot." Ask the Gemara, "What do you mean sheshet yamim? Isn't it shivat yamim? Isn't Pesach 7 days?"
No.
So the Gemara says,
the first day is
6 days. It's reshut. One day it's obligatory. When during the first day, ba'erev.
So I get that.
On the other hand, didn't you say that the
obligation
comes because the love is there first? Correct. It says you can't. It's not that you can't eat chametz. No, chametz is all 7 days.
So if it says 7 there and 7 there,
well,
I mean, I don't understand why the
pasuk says you're obligated to eat matzah sometime. Shivat yamim. That's the pasuk where it says not to eat chametz. But now we know from another limud that 7 doesn't mean seriously. 7 only means 1. Because it says, Sheshet Yamim Tochal Matzot. So, how do they come to the... She stays Rishus. That's why, you know, if you want to know why guys learn all day, there's something to do. There is something to do learning all day, and you will never end. It'll never end. It is just so vast. I mean it seriously. So vast. The Olam HaTalmud is so vast. You know, if you're teaching just in the regular, you'll never see 90. I decided a couple of years to do 6, 7 to do Daf Yomi at least once. Why? I want to once in my life touch every Gemara and Shas. But otherwise, I would never look at anything. I'm not teaching Menachos. Where am I going to teach Menachos? Who's going to? So if I wanted to learn it, and the time that I spent learning, most of my learning is around my preparations. Because I have to learn brachas on Shabbos, I'm learning Sanhedrin in school, Kedushin here. So all the learning is centered on my preparation. I'm never going to learn Avodah Zarah unless I teach Avodah Zarah. So it is so complex, you can spend your whole life and never come across good parts of Shas. Good parts of Shas. That's my when I retire, that's what I'm gonna learn Daf Yomi 5 hours a day. So I should finally understand it. Because at the lightning speed in which you do Daf Yomi, 45 minutes to 1 hour, I think, yeah, half the time it barely goes into one ear, let alone goes out, it doesn't even go into one. It's so fast. But it's a tremendous experience because it gives you discipline. It's the discipline that's important. 45 an hour a day, I gotta learn no matter what. I have to do this daf. But you just touch it. But there's so much on each page of analysis and lumdus and, you know, there are thousands upon thousands of books on the Talmud. On the Rishonim, and the Rishonim on the Achronim, and the codes. There are thousands. Literally, you can't learn everything unless you're Rav Avadia Yosef or something. He learned everything. But, okay. So that's a Chag HaMatzot. There is also a... There are cases in which you use the tetvav in the reverse. Here we're going from what to what? From matzah to what? To sukkah. There are times when we go from sukkah to matzah. That hekesh, what's called the hekesh, tesvav, also operates in the other direction as well, in relationship to certain halachot. It's mentioned, there are many, many halachot to this particular halacha. So therefore, Rava says, he concludes on line two and three, Ma lehala nashim chayavot, therefore I now say, just as women are obligated to observe matzah, Afkan nashim chayavot, here too they're obligated to observe the mitzvah of sukkah, answers the Gemara Tzricha. That's why I need Ha'ezrach to tell me that what? That what? That there is no obligation for women to eat in the sukkah. I want to throw out a question which I want you to think about. Ladies, are you obligated to read the Megillah?
What's the thing about Akhimahivato?
That's my question. That's my question. Are you obligated to observe, to read the Megillah? The answer is yes. Why? Are you obligated to light the menorah?
Yes.
Good. Tell me.
You were taken out of Mitzrayim.
So now I ask you, which of the mitzvot which we discussed tonight should you have been obligated? Should you be obligated without any discussions in our Gemara? What sukkah? The miracle leman yedu doros sha'ach. You mean to tell me God did not offer protection to the women? They sat outside in the windstorm. Only the sukkah was only for the men. No. What else would you be obligated to observe? Everything on Pesach. You mean to tell me it's God only delivered the men from Mitzrayim? What, he ripped? So who needs any of this? Tosfos asks that question.
But how can you go from a Derabanan to a Deoraita?
No, the principle is already documented. By a Derabanan, you can't have psukim to legislate. But once the principle exists, that Afhein Hoya Ba'oto Hanes triggers a Chiyuv of a Derabanan, why shouldn't it trigger a Deoraita? You don't need this whole discussion tonight. So Tosfos answers, because it doesn't work. Afhein hayu ba'oto hanes only works for mitzvot de rabbanan. It does not work at all for any mitzvah d'oraita. Why? I'm not quite sure. That's what Tosfos says. The conclusion, he's right. Because if it did operate, tonight's whole shiur was a waste of time. You don't need it. I know why you're obligated to observe matzah. And you should have been obligated to observe sukkah as well. But you're not. Apparently, claims Tosfos, and it's hard to articulate why, the halacha of Apein Hayuv Oto Hanes only has the capacity to generate a mitzvah d'rabbanan.
but does not have the capacity to generate a chiyuv of a mitzvah d'oraita at all. I can't explain why. And your question is good. If I would impose a rabbinic obligation, why wouldn't I impose a biblical obligation based on the same reason? Afen hoyuvosam yes. I don't have a good answer. But Tosfos posits, and that's why you have to go through the rigmarole to find why you're obligated for matzah and why you would have been obligated for sukkah if not for ha'ezra. We'll stop here and continue next above.
There are no exceptions.